It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Welcome back for another edition of the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, October is always a very busy month when we talk about things happening in healthcare. First of all, October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this. We've committed as a company to breast cancer by, you know, getting our own mammography service in our office, which has completely increased our utilization, at least in our North Oakland market. And you know, this is something that is a preventable disease, and we absolutely 100% need to pay attention to it. And the awareness months, you know, there's an awareness month for just about everything now. And this awareness month was really one of the first, I think. And I think, you know, sometimes the firsts are maybe the most important. I don't know that it's the most important, but it certainly is very important.
And before we wrap up the show, of course, we're also going to be talking about taking advantage of your 2020 healthcare benefits, especially if you've already hit your deductible and what you need to do.
Well, that was our number one topic on our show, I think, where people keyed in and asked questions. So, I mean, we wanted to make sure we revisited that, especially since we still have a few months left.
And we are here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, alongside from Women's Excellence, we'll have more after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back. As we said, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and there's so much happening at Women's Excellence about breast cancer. Dr. Zaidan, I have to go back to something you said in the introduction. You said that breast cancer is avoidable. And I think that hearing that, a lot of women may take note of that, because so many times when you hear those words said to you, it feels like a death sentence for so many women. But what you're saying is, this is treatable. It can be something that someone can overcome.
Well, when you say avoidable, that may have been a slight misspeak, right? In that we can't avoid getting cancers. We can kind of protect ourselves from getting cancers. But more importantly, we can find them early. And we've talked about that in other shows. Early detection is the key. And when we find them early, and when we have an early detection model in place that's actually efficient, not only for the patient, but also for the practice in evaluating and getting the results in a timely fashion, what ends up happening is that we decrease the morbidity and mortality for breast cancer. So those are doctor terms for we make the treatment simpler and more effective. And that's exactly what we want to do for women. What you don't realize is that 1 in 8 U.S. women, about 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer at some point in their lifetime. And that's a large number. Now, certainly that's skewed more towards the upper age groups, but nonetheless, it's very important because we all know somebody that's even been in their 30s, some maybe in their 20s, very rare in the 20s, but you know, gets a little more in the 30s. And then certainly after 40 and 50 years old, we start to see it more. And that's exactly what the U.S. PTF or the U.S. Preventative Task Force looks at when they determine how to do screening mammography or any of these other programs. And that's why we do mammography every year after age 40. So, I mean, I think it's very, very important. And, you know, in today's time, we are paying more attention to statistics than we've ever paid before, because we constantly have the COVID ticker on our, you know, on our websites and our news channels, whichever one you are looking at. And again, no politics here, but you know, we're talking in the 200,000 range, 300,000 range of COVID affected people who have passed away. And, you know, in breast cancer alone, 276,000 are expected to pass away in 276,000 people are going to get that disease in 2020. And so that's really important, because if you think about it, all the information that we've heard about COVID, and here we have a disease that we know all about that's, you know, about the same, in about the same amount of time, right? Because COVID's been going on for, you know, now well over 6 months in the 7 and 8 month time frame. And we know that it was happening even before that. So, you know, now we're looking at, you know, a similar disease process, but, you know, we have more familiarity. So I think we don't take it as seriously. Women certainly should be taking this seriously. And I think that the Breast Cancer Awareness Month helps them do that.
Dr. Zaden, could you just go over, when should a woman start getting a mammogram? What should she look for when she maybe gets her first mammogram? What if you have a family history of breast cancer? Get into some of that.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, a family history is really important now. We've done shows in the past about genetic testing. And if you have a family history or you have a positive genetic test where you're at higher risk, then you start getting your mammograms a little bit earlier and you do it with a different modality. You may do MRI screening of the breast. So that's when you're going to start, you know, really kind of honing in. And that's where, you know, kind of genetic testing helps us in that we identify those people at highest risk. But the truth of the matter is that all women should start to be screened yearly at age 40. There's a lot of different societies that weigh in on this and what year and so forth. But at Women's Excellence, we use a yearly screening regimen after age 40. And then if you have a family history, we start to screen you earlier and we use those different modalities such as MRI.
And you have a dedicated mammography office. That's something that's very important. I know you like to talk about that a lot.
Well, I only talk about it and it really came true to light now since COVID has come, in that we always emphasized that we thought that we would increase the amount of people that were getting their mammograms if we had our own center. Because we felt that many people don't like to go to the hospital or these outpatient centers where they don't really know anyone. They don't have a specific relationship. And we also felt that, you know, the time and the unfamiliarity of going to those centers became something that, you know, well, we'll just put it off for a few months. And then, okay, they came in next year. They still hadn't had their mammogram done. So we talked about this from an efficiency perspective. So we felt that Women's Excellence needed to contribute to decreasing people not getting their mammograms by offering mammography, which was, you know, an interesting approach, right? Well, that's turned twofold. Because that same convenient aspect of the mammography is also a safe aspect of mammography, and that you are really only in there with one other person and the technician. You're not in there in a waiting room or going through a hospital or going through the lobby of a hospital and all that. And there's really, you know, limited potential for getting illness when you're in a smaller isolated area, right? So it's actually been twofold now. So I'm very, very proud of our mammography center because we get great results. It's read by board certified radiologists. We've increased the screening by at least 25% in our patients. So 25% more people get mammograms that come through those offices than didn't before, which means that we're going to have to put mammography in different locations because we can see the benefit.
25%, Dr. Yeah. Zaden, you deserve a pat on the back, your staff. That's a marked increase.
Well, it certainly is. And you don't really realize that until you start to really see the patients on a regular basis. And you realize that I go through their mammography list and it's like, well, they got one in 2019, but they hadn't had one since 2016. And when I talk to them, I say, oh, you got your mammogram. I'm proud of you. And they say, well, it's because you have the center. It's so convenient, right? And so you see that clinically when you're actually speaking with them. So I'm very proud of the center. I think it's worked very, very well. And for COVID, it's worked even better. And honestly, I think we're all going to be a little bit more nervous about communicable disease moving forward anyway. So this is a good approach. So I can't say enough about, you know, the success we've had with that program. But more importantly, that it's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We're making a difference there. More people do well with breast cancer than ever. And to just give you a few snippets about what you originally said, it is not a death sentence anymore. Breast cancer is a treatable disease. The key to treating it is finding it early. We have great protocols and people do well with very, very high rates of people doing well, as long as we find it early.
And when you mention October, it is also time to review at work our healthcare deductibles. So when we come back on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR, Dr. Jonathan Zaden from Women's Excellence will give us some information to keep in mind as we're going over those healthcare deductibles with our employer. Stay with us here on WJR. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show. We are now going to talk about healthcare deductibles. I know this is one of the things that when I see this popping up on my email saying it's time for you to do this, Marie, I put it off because number one, I'm afraid of making the wrong decision. And number two, I get confused. What did I do last year? I need to do this again this year. So we want to ease the pain a little bit here with Dr. Jonathan Zaden of Women's Excellence. You know, Dr. Jonathan Zaden, I want to remind you that last year when we did this segment, because we chatted about this last year at about this time, I had a listener tell me that she stopped in her driveway. She was coming home from work. She was listening to the interview, and she sat in her driveway to finish hearing what you had to say about this in this segment because she found it so informative. So I really took that as a compliment for you and for the show that you were offering such great information about healthcare deductibles. So pat on the back for you on that one.
I appreciate it. It's a virtual pat, of course, but nonetheless.
Yes. Socially distant.
But nonetheless, I'll take that. You know, I'm pretty passionate about this. And I'm passionate about it because I see so many people struggle, you know, with their health insurance. And it's really like interesting because as a doctor, if you're truly comprehensive, you need to look at every aspect of a patient's care. And I say this always when I'm training a resident and I say, you know, if you give the patient, you know, who has $10 in their wallet, a prescription that's going to cost $500, it's not going to get filled. And so, you know, what's most important is that as a physician, that we're not only providing a solution, but we're providing a solution that somebody can actually enact.
Right.
And that's what I think is so important here with healthcare deductibles, because there's so many people that have comorbidities for things like urinary incontinence or heavy, you know, bleeding where they're becoming anemic because of their menstrual cycles, right? Things with pelvic pain that they're not sure what's there, if there's an ovarian cyst and they're fearful and anxiety, but they don't want to get anything done because they know when they go to the doctor, it's going to cost them, you know, hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, when they're all said and done getting a workup. And they, you know, they may have been through that before or they've heard of people that have gone through that and they just don't want to do that because they know now that they have this deductible of $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it is. And by this time of the year, a lot of people have slowly and incrementally worked those deductibles down. And it's really important for them to know that they can actually use their insurance now and get those things taken care of so that the next year they're not incrementally using them because of all the comorbidities or all the problems they've had because they're leaking urine or they're having bleeding or they've had to go to the emergency room because they were, you know, getting weak and tired because of their heavy periods. Those are the things that we need to pay attention to as physicians, meaning that we need to look at the whole patient. And part of looking at the whole patient is treating not only them, but also understanding how their insurance is going to impact the decisions they make and which decisions they make. And that's what I think I'm so passionate about with this.
So the very first word of advice here from you is if you've reached your annual deductible for 2020, now's the time to go back to your doctor or to review with your doctor some things that you may have needed to have done and that you've put off. Now, you know, most mammograms are mostly covered, of course, by insurance, you know, sure, preventative stuff like that. But we're talking about some of these other issues. So now's the time to get them done.
And this is not only, you know, gynecologic issues, right? I mean, you know, I'm talking to my patients in the office about other things. People that, you know, believe it or not, I mean, people have had chest pain and, you know, they're holding off going to the cardiologist because they know it's going to be very expensive to do all this stuff. Yeah. And it really doesn't hurt that bad, right? Well, now is the time to get that stuff evaluated for sure. Now, in the chest pain example, obviously, we would want you to get evaluated as soon as possible. But nonetheless, we do know that the behavior of our patients is that, you know, cost is an issue. If you've got to make a determination on whether to spend it on healthcare or to spend it on your children or your house payment, many times you put that off. So it's very important that you pay attention and utilize those benefits. And then also understand that, you know, people are used to having this deductible, but they don't realize that, you know, maybe they have a $2,500 deductible. They're already at $2,200. They could get their procedure done, their evaluation for chest pain, their evaluation for you know, their heavy periods, incontinence, prolapse, whatever it is. They could get that all done for $300 at that point with minimal copays, as opposed to, you know, the full bore in the beginning of the year. So I think it's very important. And then you've got these other items like flexible spending accounts, healthcare savings accounts, and so on and so forth that, you know, sometimes go unused by patients. I mean, we hear people that, you know, actually have money and they're trying to spend it on like December 29th. Some of these things have to be used by a certain date. Every plan is different. So, you know, it's important that, you know, you are paying attention to all those things as you're getting your healthcare.
So the health savings account, sometimes employers will contribute to that. Not only maybe are you contributing to your health savings account, but employers will maybe add a little dash in there for you each month. So it's important to evaluate whether or not a health savings account would be good for you, because that stays with you as far as I understand.
Yeah, it rolls over to a certain amount of time. And again, I believe all these plans are a little bit different. They're all government mandated. So there's a certain degree of regulation around all of these things, but they, you know, truly are, you know, individualized as well in how the employer kind of puts them out. So, you know, I think it's really important that you pay attention to those things because, you know, again, you might have a deductible, but you might also have that same amount in your healthcare savings account that you could use. And you know, if you use both in a very, very smart way, you may not have to put anything out of pocket and get your problem solved. Right? Especially these elective problems that you've been putting off because of those reasons with, you know, the financial side.
Some people ask, why should I go to an in-network provider? Let's say you have a choice in a matter about who to see. So can we talk about in-network providers and out-of-network providers and the difference between the two?
Oh, absolutely. I know this just because, you know, as I kind of help to, you know, do some of the administrative aspects of Women's Excellence, you know, we run into these things on whether or not we need to be in network or out of network with certain plans. But the truth of the matter is that the plans that contract with doctors that are on their contracted list are in network providers. And so those in network providers agree to accept certain costs and reimbursements for their services. Out-of-network providers don't agree to those same costs, and that's where the difference lies. Is that, you know, you may go, you know, a simplistic example is you may go to an out-of-network provider and it may cost $10. You may go to an in-network provider, and because of the relationship with the insurance company, the doctor would only charge $7. So, you know, you may save 30% by going to an in-network doctor versus an out-of-network doctor. And I think that that's kind of how you know, this is kind of rolled out, is that, you know, the companies want to get as many in-network doctors as possible, but of course the doctors don't always want to take what these companies are willing to provide. So some physicians are going to be out of network for certain plans. And that's where, when you're choosing a plan, you really have to make a determination, because, you know, some people want to use the cheapest, you know, healthcare plan because, you know, obviously they want to take less money out of their check each month or pay less premium each month. But the truth of the matter is that if you're taking an insurance that doesn't have a lot of physicians, there's not many in-network doctors, and everybody's out of network, it may end up costing you more when you're all said and done. So that's a very simplistic, rudimentary overview of the differences. And certainly in healthcare, nothing costs $10 anymore. So that's, you know, just an analogy. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, you'd like to stick to in-network providers, but it's very important that you look at your healthcare plan that you're using and make sure that, you know, the majority of the doctors that you would potentially see are in-network. Because if you find that you're signing up with a health plan where the doctors that you are going to actually physically use and the ones that you like are not in-network, well, it's going to cost you a lot more. So you might get a cheaper premium, but you'll pay probably more in the back end.
And Dr. Zayden, very quickly here as we wrap up this segment, if someone has been, God forbid, diagnosed with something that will require some ongoing treatment, let's say a breast cancer or a number of other things, and they're unsure as to how to proceed with their benefit program, I understand there are people at your office that can help people figure that out a little bit, that can answer some of the basic questions that they may have about their insurance.
Well, we definitely, you know, Women's Excellence isn't designed to be, a financial planner for a patient, but we can give them some direction on where to look. And that's probably the most important thing. We deal with hundreds of insurance companies each and every day. So for us to give like detailed information that, you know, that you could rely on to be accurate about your plan and all the nuances with your employer, that would be difficult for us to do. But we can kind of get you working in the right direction. But what I always recommend to patients, especially if you're getting your healthcare through a company, is go to the person that's administering the healthcare benefits at that company, because they can give you the most information. And oftentimes they may just refer you to the representative that is selling that company the insurance. Because believe me, every insurance company has a representative that's selling it to the company that you're working at, that's providing it to you. So, you know, obviously that's a very convoluted communication mechanism. And what we really want to do is make that seamless. So if you talk to the person that's giving your benefits at your company, and then she emails you direct right to the person that is, you know, selling them the product, you can get your answer, you know, taken care of. And is that important? Well, for a routine, you know, you go in once a year to get your mammogram and to get a, you know, annual exam or refill birth control pills, depending on what stage of life you're in, probably not as important. But if you have a major disease, like you spoke of, a breast cancer or endometrial, uterine cancer, something like that, it's very important, because you may have to see a lot of different specialists, and the specialists that are preferred might not be the ones that, you know, are in your network. And how do you navigate that? And there can be some exceptions made if you do it in the right way.
When we come back here on the Healthy Woman Show, we're going to talk about quality assurance. It might not be something you've thought about when you head to the doctor, but at Women's Excellence, they have thought about it. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. As we promised, we're going to talk a little bit about quality assurance and the quality assurance program at Women's Excellence. Joining us for this segment of the show, Dr. Zaden, is someone you know pretty well, Laura Smuts, a certified nurse midwife with Women's Excellence. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, we're so glad you could join us. If you don't mind, I'm going to just right out of the box ask you, why should a patient be concerned or even ask a question about quality assurance? What does that mean to the patient?
Yep. So we are a large practice. So we kind of take it as our responsibility to our clients and to our profession to promote, you know, a high standard of care. So a quality assurance program is going to look at the care being provided across the board by all providers and making sure that we have consistency and a process to support consistency and excellence in our patient care.
You know, one of the things, Marie, that I've experienced, and I certainly hear it all the time, because I do a lot of second opinion, third opinion, fourth opinion consultation, is that somebody goes to a practice and they get care from one particular facet of the practice, and then they go back and the other person that they see doesn't even know what the first person did. And then oftentimes there's an entirely different protocol given, you know, for the treatment that they're going to get. And, you know, they're unhappy with one person, they were much happier with the other person. Some of that's based on personality characteristics of the provider, right? Everybody keys into certain people that they like better. That's just standard in any industry. But the truth of the matter is some of it is because there's not a quality assurance program in those practices. It's kind of like what I consider, you can't just set it and forget it in your company. You have to constantly maintain, you know, a certain level of quality, which means that if new products are available, new ways of doing cultures with genetic screens, new genetic testing, all that thing, we need to make sure that all of our doctors are aware and that we're putting protocols in place to utilize the latest and greatest, because we wouldn't be Women's Excellence if we weren't excellent. And we need to do that. And that's what Laura is really, you know, designing for our midwives, taking a look both prospectively and retrospectively at some of the things that, you know, that we do on a daily basis.
And so, Laura, you work primarily with the midwives, correct? And Dr. Zaden, you were, how many midwives do you have at the practice now?
Laura,
currently we're at 11.
Yep. So
we're in process of even more growth.
Yep.
That's a lot of babies being born every month. So Laura, when you talk to your midwives about quality assurance, this is really about a continuum of care, right? So that every person who comes through Women's Excellence gets the same type of care. I know excellence is in your name. I know that's very important to Dr. Zaden. He talks about that all the time. But you work individually also with patients. And talk a little bit about that and how you try to bring that excellence to every patient.
Right. So this QA program ideally is going to help us continue to do that. It's not as common in a private practice to have a program like this. It's very common in larger hospitals and institutions. But by us having this, we're able to ensure that, you know, patients are still getting patient-centered care, but meeting the standard of care for obstetrics. So it really will help, every patient make sure that they're getting quality care from whatever provider they're seeing, whether it be a physician, a nurse midwife, or a nurse practitioner throughout Women's Excellence.
I'd like to expound on that a little bit. So, what Laura is really communicating is something, from a higher level that I take very seriously. The structure of an organization oftentimes will affect its complete outcome, even if the intentions in the organization are good. And at Women's Excellence, our intentions are great, but the structure has to support those intentions. And by that, what I mean is, in a big hospital arena where there's quality assurance, there's many people looking at the quality assurance that may or may not even be practicing people on the front lines. There may be people that are research people in that quality assurance group. There might be people that are maybe even the chairman of a department that, really doesn't have a lot of clinical treatment anymore, those types of things. So the quality assurance is looked at from a different perspective and many times is focused around the hospital requirements, to provide care. At Women's Excellence, we're designing this. And again, we believe we're one of very few private groups that are doing this, but we're designing this around how does it really affect the patient and how does the care that we provide going directly to the patient, become more standardized and make sure that we are capturing every part of the care that's necessary to get the best outcome. And that's unbiased by any of the other items that might be, in a hospital quality assurance program that might be reflected around reimbursements of the hospital and so on and so forth. This is directly, associated with how is it going to affect the best care for the patient. And I think that's what's so exciting about this, because we're actually able to take this hospital concept and then contour it down a little bit to the private practice model. And we're large enough to be able to do this at this point at Women's Excellence. And I think we're small enough to really, make a difference in how we practice. And that's, ultimately giving the patient the best outcome. So, that's what I'm so excited about with this program.
When we talk about quality assurance programs and instituting programs, Dr. Zaden and Laura Smuts, who's a certified nurse midwife at Women's Excellence, where, you have to have these practices in place, but don't you also have to deal with each individual patient as an individual for their own, meeting their own special needs, having quality so that what I give this patient is going to be different than what I give this other patient? You have to be able to do that as well, right?
Right. So the care is still individualized. What we're doing is a very thoughtful and thorough chart review at the completion of the pregnancy. So we're looking back at clients who may have experienced any sort of complication during their pregnancy, such as high blood pressure. And we're looking at the care that they received from each provider over the course of the year of their pregnancy and postpartum. So it's that way we can identify what were the strengths in this patient's care, what were the weaknesses, and how can we use that information, to continue to provide quality care. So there's patients are still getting their individualized care. It's just a way to kind of look back and make improvements for the future.
And Dr. Zaden, you'd concur with that. Because you're always talking about meeting each individual patient where they are.
Well, you have to remember that, for example, let's break this down to something that people are familiar with. You go to the office and you're 44 years old and you're going there for your annual exam. And the expectation is that, you should at least get a pap smear per the guidelines, and you should be given a mammogram per guideline, right? Well, what if you went to the practice and, you know, one of the doctors, you know, came from a different healthcare system or maybe had a personal opinion that decided that they weren't, you know, going to order mammography and they were only going to order thermography. Well, at Women's Excellence, we would pick that up very quickly because of the quality assurance program. And everyone knows that all doctors feel differently, and they sometimes are affected in their care patterns by what's happened to them personally, right? And that's exactly what we want to make sure that those personal attributes maybe that a doctor has can come through to the patient, and we're not affecting that. But we're also making sure that they're adherent to a certain level of standard at Women's Excellence so that everyone gets a minimum amount of care. That doesn't mean that it can't be individualized. It can't be personalized. It doesn't mean that, you know, for example, if they had a urinary tract infection and, you know, maybe we determine that every patient gets a test of cure of their urinary tract infection. How often did that happen? How many people got readmitted, you know, into a hospital or went to a hospital because, you know, they had a persistent infection? It doesn't mean that you have to use the same antibiotic. It just means that you have to use an antibiotic if needed, and then also make sure that the patient is followed so that they don't end up getting readmitted or going to an emergency room. That's what the quality assurance program does, and that's why it helps the patient.
Dr. Zaden, thank you for that. And Laura Smuts, thank you for joining us today. Again, a certified nurse midwife with Women's Excellence, talking a little bit about the development of this quality assurance program at Women's Excellence. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about a new program, also again at Women's Excellence, a concierge team. What do they do at a doctor's office? We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. We're back on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Jonathan Zaden alongside from Women's Excellence. And Dr. Zaden, you're introducing something at Women's Excellence that, well, most of us really associate with a good hotel, and that is a concierge team. But for you, it's going to be all about healthcare. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's great to promise, right? But you have to deliver. And I think the statement is you never want to overpromise and underdeliver. You always want to promise and overdeliver. Mm-hmm. We've had some serious challenges with COVID, and those challenges have not really been infectious. The challenges have been the difficulties that we had with staffing our offices and staffing our phones and our intake mechanisms to get to Women's Excellence. And we did something, and we made a decision early on when COVID hit that, you know, we were going to be that practice that stayed in business. We weren't going to, you know, shut our practice doors down and refer our patients just to the hospital, because we felt that that would provide them more risk to get the virus. We wanted to make sure that we remained open, and we did everything as, you know, as we normally would, with all the safety protocols, social distancing, masks, limiting people, and so on and so forth, that we could. And we went out immediately before, I think there was even a rush on it, and bought tons of sanitizing supplies and stuff to do that. And so we effectively did that. And we maintained a patient volume, and in some cases transitioned some volume over to the virtual care program that we have called specialty virtual care. What's happened now is that many of these people and our patients need to be seen, you know, in person. And a lot of people put off their health care, and we gained a lot of patients during that time period because we were, you know, felt to be, you know, kind of the practice of choice, because we were still open and still providing necessary care for people, even in the obstetrical arena. Believe it or not, there were people that were going to their obstetricians. Their obstetricians didn't feel comfortable seeing patients, and they were, you know, in their mid-gestation, middle of the pregnancy. They needed to go somewhere, so we took these patients on. Well, there's a good and a bad. So we brought all these people on board, but that made it difficult for us to keep our phones answered, to keep our chats answered, to keep all of that because we had an increased volume. And, you know, the perfect storm, COVID caused decreased staffing, especially with unemployment situations that had happened, you know, differences in, you know, the human resource component in almost every company was affected severely. So what we've done now is we've spent the last 6 months really looking at how can we make the intake and the of our patients and the questions that our patients have a priority. And we know that there's so many facets that we need to communicate with a patient about their prescription, about their, you know, about their healthcare insurance, like we talked about earlier in the show, about their appointments, about changing their appointments, about additional testing, about questions they have for surgery. So we've done a robust deep dive into all those different questions and answered them in more of a concierge type of way. And over the next 3 months, we plan on fully implementing a concierge team, which will, which will have things like, a call center just to answer calls, a more robust chat system to answer many of your questions, faster, a quicker way to email back to patients when we need to give them an answer, better, information when you're given surgical instructions or how to get to a hospital, so that we've looked at it from more just like a customer service approach to how we provide the care that we do. And I am very excited to see how it's starting to evolve. And we've just now begun. We've hired, two additional call center members, and we're looking at, hiring a few more on top of the fact that we've changed all these processes to make the answer to your question far more efficient and streamlined.
And really, this is COVID, as you said, changed our world, but it's also changed the way we deliver healthcare for so many people. I can't imagine being in the middle of a pregnancy and not being able to get a hold of my OBGYN.
It's really, I have a whole lot of feelings about it. I wouldn't talk about all of them on the radio, quite frankly, but I believe that we were put in place to provide healthcare, and that was exactly what we committed to do, even during this crisis. And I'm glad that we did. And I think that a lot of patients appreciate Women's Excellence for that. But it is at a cost, of course, when you, when you do something that is difficult, you're always going to have some backlash of that. We're solving that on the back end. And, one of the positives that have come out of this is that we've gotten so busy that we're actually opening up another center back in a previous location in our Birmingham location. We're going to have a fully autonomous midwifery program there in our Birmingham office until we build out a brand new fully autonomous midwifery office in our Royal Oak location. So, I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on and that we need to, it's a daily interaction between, how do we service patients, make sure that we're providing the care that we, give. And this is all, if you can tell the way the show really has come about in some of the conversations, it's all about quality care, looking at, quality assurance, looking at customer drivers, looking at how do we streamline their answers to their questions. It's all about the patient. And that's an exciting thing here at Women's Excellence.
Dr. Jonathan Zaden, always a pleasure to have you alongside. You've been listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. We'll see you again. Stay well.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.